Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Andrew Fry back in the studio producing and engineering as Max Power continues his vacation. He'll be back in the saddle next Monday. Welcome. How you been? How'd your picks go?
Doesn't sound like they went too good.
You did well, actually.
No, I didn't.
You did
everything.
You went 3-5, and 18 points. You got your bonus pick right. No, actually, you went 4-4 for 18 points.
What four did I get right?
Cause you got UNLV, Boston College, Oklahoma, and Buffalo.
Oklahoma ended up covering?
Oklahoma blew them out.
No, they didn't.
What was the score?
They were up 5 late. I don't think they ended up covering that.
I thought they covered.
What was the spread?
I could have sworn they covered. What was the score? That's what I need to know.
The score was something like 34-19.
Well, I don't need something like.
It was 34-19.
Well, then they covered.
It was 24-19 the last time I looked.
Why do you scare me like that?
Why do you scare me like that?
I mean, I looked these up.
I believe you, but
and then you have to throw this.
But I saw 24-19 pretty late.
I don't know why you do that.
Couldn't have even imagined that they'd covered. So that's my 8-point game. Thank goodness. So how many did I end up with?
You went 4-4, and for only 18 points.
Well, how did I go 3-5 for 18?
You went 4-4, but and then you got the bonus game. You picked UNLV for 1, Boston College for 3, Buffalo for 4, Oklahoma for 8, and you only put 2 on Tampa.
Yeah.
For the bonus.
I'll take it. I thought I did poorly.
Due to 2-6, but he got 22 points because his 10-point bonus pick came through.
Yeah, that irritates me beyond belief.
I went 2-6. I got the bonus game right, but I only went for 3 on it, so I'm down there at 11 points.
Uh-oh.
Poor Max, 2-6. He missed the bonus game. Just 8 points, and man, poor poor Anthony, he went 2-6. He got the 8-point bonus game, and he got 16 points.
I don't know about poor Anthony. That's a decent
week.
Not
bad.
We're all
2-6. We're all terrible.
Yeah, we're all terrible at picking games. Our confidence is okay, but the picks themselves, we got to just settle into it, see who's good. The NFL is as topsy-turvy as it's ever been. We don't know from week to week what's going to happen in that league, except Carolina's going to lose. That's about all we can really count on.
I'll tell you what we know. My fantasy team's done.
Why?
My first two picks in the fantasy draft this year, Christian McCaffrey, Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, you could be in some trouble.
Could be. I'm in all kinds of trouble.
A lot of trouble.
I should just throw open my team for trades.
Well, What do you want to trade? We'll take McCaffrey off your hands.
What do you give me for him?
Well, make a deal. Make an offer. Let's go.
He's on IR.
He'll be back.
But will he be any good?
I've got projections to beat Virgil this week.
I'm terrible. I can't. We'll never have another fantasy draft as long as I'm on this show.
I doubt that's true, but you never know.
Well, you know how I am.
Sore loser.
Exactly.
Sore winner.
Pretty much.
Sore just all over at your age, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Things like trying to figure out the internet and my passwords and things like that just throw me into disarray.
They baffle
because
you.
Because I was on the phone with my AT&T people was it yesterday morning? I think it was yesterday morning.
Well, they must have found a way to bounce you right off their network.
Because I wasn't getting on the internet, and I figured it out. Now nobody else can get on. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't know what
I've given you the password. Now they're asking for the I don't know what they're asking for.
What are they asking for?
The key, the security key, whatever the hell that.
As far as I knew,
that
was
on the back.
As far as I knew, that was just your password.
Well, I thought it was.
You need to call AT&T again.
Yeah, good.
Probably
yeah.
after this
Why
show.
Why don't you do that for me?
Nah.
You know, your level of desire to help your elderly parent
I tried to help you. You didn't listen to me.
Is lackluster.
I tried to give you.
Came over here like a whirling dervish.
Who?
Debbie's great niece Kaylee, and your wife Shannon.
Well, good for them.
Just incredible help.
Awesome.
I just came in here and took it on.
And I lifted every heavy thing that you had.
No, I lifted
it.
Everything.
No,
every
you
heavy.
Didn't.
Of course I did.
Where?
Did you see how many things had been moved?
Not many. Not many heavy things. I moved all the boxes and
all the boxes,
the hutch and the table. That was all me. What'd you move that was heavy?
All those boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved them. I loaded them. I moved them. And
why did I need to remove them?
Well, I don't know. Why did you?
So that's what I'm asking you.
But mostly you were over there on your phone.
But no, I wasn't. But the day that you come over and help me with some of my technical issues, or you make a call that I need to make, then I'll start making your calls.
So that's how. Do you know how bad? It's astounding to me.
Are you serious?
I am being serious.
How? You could take care of.
How bad does that sound?
I don't think it sounds that bad.
Do you know how many kid people your age are helping their parents?
I tried to help you.
When?
On Thursday, when I said, don't go through with this kitchen thing. Go out and live life. This isn't a meaningful.
That's not helping.
Yeah, it is.
That's just ridiculing.
That's not ridicule. That's trying to help you have an enriched and full life. That's,
oh, Jeff.
That's what I was trying to do.
I swear, if you weren't my son right now, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
That kind of stuff has. I don't get it. I just don't
what
get
don't
it.
You get?
I don't get it. I don't get your generation. I don't get it.
What do you not get is what I'm asking.
I don't get why you would think you need to butt in on what we do.
Not trying
why
to butt in.
Why your opinion matters. Why it would even be necessary to share.
Okay, well then my opinion doesn't matter. So then you must not need my help for anything.
Because your opinion about what we should do with our house doesn't matter. I don't need your help for anything. So your resistance to help is because you think it's crazy that we're remodeling our kitchen?
No, you said my opinion doesn't matter. That's a pretty broad statement.
Your opinion on that doesn't matter because, first of all, you weren't asked. Secondly, we're way down the road.
All right.
On this. So even if I was coming to you and saying, Jeff, did I do the right thing here? Doesn't matter what you think.
Okay.
We've made that decision. We're moving forward with a kitchen remodel.
Well, the second I'm allowed to express concerns over you guys, then that's the minute I'll start offering to pitch in.
So that's a prerequisite to help.
Yeah, when I'm allowed to.
Is that we listen to your opinions, even when not asked.
Yeah, kind of.
I can't even imagine what people out there who are hearing this must think. I can't imagine. I don't think I'm
sure
off
they're
my
probably
rocker.
On my side.
I just can't fathom what you're saying.
If you're not going to let me look out for you, then why does it matter
How
if I help you or not?
Looking out for me? Do you think I'm not capable of mentally making decisions? Do you think I'm deteriorating to the point
no,
where
it has nothing
now,
to do with it.
Physically, I do need help. I don't need help with what I'm going to do with the house, whether we're going to go on a vacation, whatever we're going to do.
Concerned.
I don't need any help with that.
I'm concerned that there are three sets of stairs in this house. That's what I'm concerned about. If you want to get all the way to that level, that's what I'm concerned about. And it worries me. That you got to go upstairs to go to bed. You got to come downstairs to eat. I mean, if we're talking seriously, as years progress, that would be at the top of my list of concerns.
When we feel like that's a hindrance that is too much for us, we'll deal with that. I don't feel like it's a problem for me to get up and downstairs. If it becomes a big problem for my wife to do that, we'll make a decision.
I don't
at that
really
point.
Care if you do your kitchen. That's all great. But I just want you all to be living a happy life.
Or do we indicate that we're not?
No.
What do care? What?
But I just, you know, there's only so much time that you have to go explore and see things. And
I've seen plenty of things.
Okay, then you're good, I guess.
I mean, I don't have a longing. Oh, I got to get to Pennsylvania. I don't have that. I've been to all these places.
Fine.
Yeah, a lot of it was for work, but I went out and saw things. I didn't just hole down in my hotel room.
All right.
I've been to New York. I've been to California. I've been to every state except, I'll name them for you, okay?
Sure.
Washington, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, Maine.
Wouldn't you like to take a road trip up to Maine at some point?
Not really.
Do you want to come on our Alaska cruise?
No, not really.
All right.
But that's it. I've not been to six states.
Well, there's countries, too, out there.
I don't want to go to any countries.
You don't?
I'm 70. I'll be 70 years old. I don't need to go to any country.
So what's the age range for wanting to travel, in your opinion?
I don't know. It's an individual matter.
What would it have been for you?
I traveled from the time I was 25 till I was 65.
Again, that was work-related. I'm asking.
But I was gone all the time. I don't
leisure.
Need to be gone. I like being home.
Fine. That's good.
We already went through this with Duda. He understands it. Why don't you?
I do understand it.
But you continue to push this. Oh, why are you spending this money?
I don't care about the money. Do whatever you want with your money.
Why are you doing this kitchen instead of going to Roanoke, Virginia? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's not really that.
What is it?
It's what I mentioned.
Stairs?
Yeah, if those... What are you going to do?
You're on the defensive right now.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to defend or offend.
Just let us do our thing.
Fine.
And don't worry about it.
No, I'm going to worry about it.
Well, I would suggest not worrying about it.
No, I'm going to worry about it.
I think we're going to be okay.
Doesn't matter.
I just don't see you out there worrying.
You just
I've
keep
never
talking
known
out of both
worry.
Sides of your mouth, like, don't worry about me, but also, please jump in and help at every...
When we need help with physical labor things, I would appreciate your help. Just, you know, I put a ton of physical labor into this house yesterday. I enjoyed it. I spent a couple hours loading boxes, moving them. It was fine, but I also appreciate the help.
Well, I'll help you anytime you need it.
Well, you've changed your tune.
I thought that was pretty obvious. Have I ever said no?
Yeah, today you said
I'm not going to make
you.
A call to AT&T. No, that's
I'm not. I was kidding about.
There's
got
to be a line somewhere.
I'm not. Do you know I was kidding about that?
I know
but
you
at
were
some
kidding,
point,
but I didn't say no to any real request.
Okay.
Nor would I.
My.
I might do it begrudgingly, but I'll still say yes.
Well, I hope you don't do it begrudgingly.
I do just about everything begrudgingly.
We don't ask very often, frankly. I've always taken pride in being able to get things done.
I'm going to get in my car and drive home begrudgingly. Everything.
Why?
I don't know.
Why don't you just have... let me offer you some advice. Why don't you be happy?
Shouldn't I?
Why don't you...
Well, begrudging works for us sometimes.
For us?
Yeah, you too, even.
I'm not begrudging of most things.
You're not?
No. If somebody called me and...
Except doing this
back
show
in
with
the
me?
Day, back in the day, I used to help people move all the time. When I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Sure.
And that just happened. That's what you do. You moving? I'll help you out. I'll move a few things for you.
Of course.
It's called community. Good grief.
Everything good?
Not really.
Oh, cheer up.
Well, no, you've brought me down.
How? I don't even know how.
This whole give and take. Here's what we have on the show today. I'm not begrudging about this.
You shouldn't be.
Chris Lamb, Wichita State volleyball coach at 225. They have had a heck of a schedule. They went to the tournament in Nebraska. Boy, they played some good teams. They didn't fare very well, but we'll see what Lambeau says about this test early on for Shocker Volleyball. They have their own tournament coming up this weekend at Koch Arena. And at 2:45, Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson will be on the show. Look forward to that visit, which we've already had, but I recorded this interview, and Avery's going to join us. He was on the show one other time back when he was
in high school.
Mays.
Was he on the same time as Dylan Edwards?
I think they might have been together, yeah. That rings a bell.
It does.
But thanks to our friends Kenny Lanoux and Ryan Lackey in media relations at K-State, who are outstanding. They're in that Raymond Ritter category for me. They just they come through.
And who's the basketball guy for K-State?
Yeah, Tom Gilbert.
Tom Gilbert. I was about to say
he's
Dan.
He's slumping
Gilbert.
Just a little bit.
Uh-oh. I hope that doesn't get back to him.
It won't. And if it does, he'll understand.
He will?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Tom's been great, too. But anytime I reach out to Ryan or Kenny about getting a football guest, they make it happen.
Well, that's pretty cool to get Avery Johnson on the show. He's a quarterback for a Power Five, potentially.
Just got nominated today for the Davey O'Brien Award, which goes to the nation's top quarterback because of his performance Saturday in their win against Arizona. And then in hour number two, we'll probably do a Bob and Jeff draft. Although I don't know.
There's a lot of football to talk today.
I don't know what we'll do. I'm so angry right now.
Don't be angry.
Spit.
We made up. We didn't
really make up.
We got through it.
I didn't feel like there was an extended hand there.
Of course there was.
Let's extend your hand right now. Go ahead. Do it. Oh, he's doing it. You going to shake hands?
Sure.
If you could only see, he did shake my hand. I think he realized.
No, I think you realize. We both realize.
I didn't realize.
We were both coming from a good place. There was no ill will.
Well, if you'd have started out saying, Dad, these stairs really worry me.
That's a dumb place to start out. I don't know if that's a conversation we're even allowed to have on the air.
You can have any conversation on the air.
I just hope you would connect the dots at some point.
I'm highly, let me tell you this. If we get to the point that we want to sell this house, which could happen, who knows? Could happen within the next 6 months to a year, potentially. We'll be happy we did our kitchen.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Somebody will walk in here and go, yeah, I want this house right now. Let's go. Sign the contract.
Good.
Because of that kitchen remodel.
And then maybe you can move out by us.
We're not moving anywhere out by you.
Patio style
home. We may
move
farther.
No, come on, hang out with us.
I've never heard you talk like this.
Why?
You are feeling remorseful.
No, I would love if you guys.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You wouldn't love that.
You wouldn't bother us that much.
How do you know? We might be calling you every day to do something.
Well, then call us.
I'm worn out. I've never had more energy expended in an opening in my life.
Was that it?
I wanted to kill you. Now you wanted to shake my hand. Now you're talking like I'm your long-lost friend. In 20 minutes, we showed our listening audience every aspect of our relationship.
Pretty much.
Except for this last part, which I don't recognize.
Why?
The handshake, the move out by us. I don't even know what that is.
Shannon's parents probably will.
Well, they love y'all.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Now that was funny.
I just want my whole family together. You know what I'm saying?
Then we'll buy a big house and make it a commune.
Good.
Chris Lamb joins us, Wichita State volleyball coach. As I said, the Shockers will be home this weekend in their own tournament after being on the road playing some incredibly difficult competition. Lambeau, hello.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
We're hanging in there. How are you doing?
49ers didn't
I'll
look
ask
so
that.
Good.
Yeah, I won't. I'll quantify that question a little bit. You obviously loaded up your schedule this year. You've already played four ranked teams. What have you learned about your squad in this gauntlet of competition that you face?
So, in scheduling, you have to have a resume, right, to make the tournament, or you got to win your league outright. And I just never want to be the reason that if my team has a good season that we don't get in because I'm a coward and I didn't want to schedule. So I'm always going to try to get as much of that as I can. By the way, all three teams that come here this weekend are supposed to win their league. So it really is a great schedule. Another piece is when you build your schedule past that part, past the math, you're hoping that it's challenging and that you can grow from it. Well, when you make that schedule, sometimes years in advance, some of these matches are part of trade deals, return deals that have, you know, I played Cal Poly before COVID, right? So they owed me a return since like 2018. So, you know, a lot of this stuff is out there. Well, when you play them, you're sort of imagining your team. So we lost Gabby Moss to a season ending injury. That was huge. And then we don't get Maddie Wilson back really till this week. She was cleared to jump a little bit, but this team was hindered quite a bit with some injuries to start the season. But like I always say this, Bob, you know, with most sports we follow, the last game of the year is the biggest game of the year, like the Super Bowl, the World Series, the championship in basketball. But I'm told that NASCAR, the biggest race is Daytona, and I'm told that's the first race of the year. Well, that's what the non-con for mid-majors is. You gotta go out there and you gotta get as much as you can on the front end, whether you're ready or not, because you have to have a resume, or your strength of schedule needs to be respectable, and ours certainly is. We just weren't ready to win in it. Now, in terms of the players, you know, being competitively mature enough to handle that, well, we'll see. Because we did take it on the chin this weekend, and we'll see how practice goes this week. We'll see what we look like as a team next week. The reality is conference starts in 2 weeks, and we need to be ready for that. But I'll let you know the answer to that question after this week of practice and this week of competition.
So this is the first time in about 4 years you've had to play without Natalie Foster. I'm just curious in what ways that kind of shows up the most, how you even go about trying to replace someone like that. And did she show any interest in staying after her graduation from Wichita State? She goes over to SMU. I was just curious if you could shed more light on that.
Yeah, no. So Natalie's original plan was to play 4 years of volleyball and 1 year of basketball. And I knew about that since her junior year of high school. We were really the only one recruiting her. So, I mean, I pretty much knew she was going to come here and hope that she would turn into a starter and a great player. And she did. Well, last year she said goodbye to all of her friends. Sophia graduated, Briley graduated, Morgan Weber graduated. I mean, you know, those girls have been around together for a long time. And, you know, for her, her family left Michigan, so there was no really going home. And she just kind of wondered. And she didn't even have her head in the clouds. I mean, she was like, she didn't know who would respond. I knew a lot of really good high-level programs would respond. But to answer your question about replacing her, no, we don't have – at that position – Jeff, the M2 position in volleyball, we don't have somebody that can replicate that. So that's always going to be hard to fill. The only way I can feel good about it, when people say, "Well, how are you going to replace somebody?" I just make myself go, "Well, let's start by being really happy that they became the player we always hoped that they would be in the first place." To even bring up, you know, the idea that that's going to be tough shoes to fill, Natalie was incredible for us. She was one of the busiest M2s in the country. In fact, she's taken double the swings in our offense as an M2 than she's taken currently down in Dallas as the M1. And the M1 is usually the middle position that's busier. So we really were able to maximize her. She was terrific. But no, we haven't. On paper, we're not even close right now to filling that void.
Chris Lamb with us, Wichita State volleyball coach. I'm just thinking as you answer these questions, I've been around a long time. There are very few people who just take on a question and answer it the way you do. It's pretty commendable. I'm paying you a compliment there. It's always fun to interview you, and I am thankful for the opportunity to do so. So leading into that, we have a program in League 42 we call the Passion Project, and we bring in speakers to talk about passion and the importance it carries for young kids. Really believe that young kids need to find a passion. You obviously have retained your passion for volleyball throughout all these years of coaching and playing. And how have you done that? How does your passion still burn this bright?
Well, I hope somewhere in here I get an invite to talk to these young kids. You know, I will show up.
That's kind of a lead up to that. Yes.
Yeah. No, I consider it done. I was a kid. Yeah, dyslexia, school wasn't easy, but I could not wait for practice every day after school. I mean, that meant the world. And if you think about it, is there anything more genuine than kids playing? You know, sadly, it's when adults get involved that I think the playing gets a little more confusing. And, you know what I mean? It just gets, once the adults get involved, a lot of the fun goes away with just things. But, you know, watching kids play, what could be better than that? So the volleyball part, Bob, for me, is sports has always been one big giant puzzle. And I love puzzles. So every day I get to come to work and solve puzzles and try to find ways to make players better, find ways to make teams better. The strategy part, you know, what trying to develop things, trusting my instincts on where we're going next. I mean, that is the way I look at this, and I enjoy it so much. And, you know, I like that you're trying to have the kids identify that this is a passion for them, and hopefully they don't let the ups and downs of the competitive part steal that away, because that also can be part of the passion, learning how to deal with the stresses that come with trying to get better every day, because it's really hard to do that. But learning how to ride that wave and overcome some things bit by bit should be pretty inspiring for them. And I'm hopeful that you and yours are passing along that message.
What has to happen, Chris, for a school? Has anyone ever called you Chris? What has to happen for a school like Nebraska in the middle of the country to become a huge volleyball power? And, you know, I don't know if Wichita State will ever draw 100,000 to a volleyball match, but what parts of that model can you replicate at Wichita State?
Well, so coming from the West Coast, I'd always heard about, you know, this Nebraska thing, this Nebraska way. And then a very good friend of mine was at Colorado State for years, so he's closer to it than I ever was. And his name was Tom Hilbert. And he would always tell me about just how in Nebraska it wasn't basketball, it was volleyball, you know. And whoever could say that in your neck of the woods, it's like, wow, but there, the girls want to play volleyball. And the high school coaches were very involved with Nebraska volleyball. They were the Nebraska High School Association is important, and the coaches are important, and they get trained, and they're part of a system. And they've made it very. That's why I knew when Creighton decided to make volleyball important, it would not take long for them to be a perennial top 25 or better program. It's just oozing out of the state. And you don't have to just say Wichita or Kansas. I mean, everybody is trying to catch up with that. I mean, I think Texas just has an attitude about sports in general that you kind of know it when you see it. But in Nebraska, they feel that way about volleyball, and you know it when you see it. So, you know, for me, I've always stayed close to club volleyball in Wichita. I'm around the kids a couple nights a week during the club season. I've always tried to help the local coaches who want to come by. I mean, every high school coach here, if they haven't figured it out, they can come to any practice they want. I hope they come. There's a handful that do. I try to be an open door for everybody, but I mean, what Texas has, what Hawaii has for volleyball, and obviously Nebraska. I mean, you just don't see that really any place else. But you know, you got some passionate people that are certainly trying to promote it, and you know, it's no different here for me at Wichita. I'll always stay involved with youth volleyball.
Well, we've certainly come a long way in this state, not only with your program, but also KU and K-State. So it's been amazing to watch that development.
No, I've been very proud of that. There was a few years when I could remember people talking about, you know, take every school's top three volleyball programs and compare them. Well, you know what you're going to get out of California and Texas and a few others, but once you start bouncing around, us 1, 2, 3 looks like a pretty nice lineup. I mean, I'm very proud of that.
Final moments here with Chris Lamb, Wichita State volleyball coach. The Shockers are at home for their own tournament coming up starting Friday. They face Cal Poly Thursday evening. I'm sorry, it starts Thursday, and then Friday afternoon they have or Friday evening. I'll get this right. Northern Colorado. And then Saturday at 4, they face Omaha. So 3 games in 3 days at Coke Arena. You mentioned, you alluded to, you're going to learn about your team and your players and how they'd handled some of the difficulty that you've encountered with this early season difficult schedule. What's your best guess? Are you in the shadows a bit as to how they'll react, or do you feel this will be a positive thing that comes out of this? What do you think?
I think eventually it will be. I want to know. I mean, there's a thing with your resiliency. We talk about quick emotional recovery in athletics, and you know, you took it on the chin this week. And hey, when we left KU was a really, really late ad. They got their schedule kind of messed up with the Missouri pulled out on them, and he calls me up begging me for a match. And I knew we were down some players, but I said, we'll go. Well, we go up there. It didn't go well, you know, but our attitude about it afterwards didn't go well. And we left from there to go to Arkansas. You know, I was like, well, hey, you want to stop in Springfield first and go play Missouri State instead of Arkansas? I mean, you guys be able to handle this or do you just have to win, you know? And they know this is what I've been talking about, but it's like, if that's what you're waiting for, if you're going to become, you know, results minded or product minded instead of process, well, then you better win a lot or you're not going to be happy. So that's the lesson we're trying to learn. And we almost beat Indiana. That would have been huge. We came back after being down to a very good Kennesaw State team. That showed me something, you know, but we've got to be able to lose a set and rebound. And right now we've dropped a couple sets and haven't come back early or quickly. And that's been the talking point for us. So, okay, tough weekend. Didn't surprise me. By the way, we've beaten the teams we're supposed to beat. We haven't beaten anybody that no one would say we weren't supposed to beat. But, you know, I get that. Doesn't mean they do. And honestly, I'm not too frustrated that they're frustrated, because I hope that they want to win and compete. But, you know, you gotta be able to get over it and get back on your feet. And we'll find out. Be great getting Maddie back tomorrow in practice. We'll start putting that system together, because that's the system that gives us the most firepower. But every time you move a kid in or out, you literally play differently. You don't play the same way. So we've got some work to do there, and there's some growing pains that come with that. So, hey, if you get me on the radio next week or after that, I'll let you know about our quick emotional recovery. How about that?
Sounds good. We appreciate your time. Best of luck. Shocker Classic here at Coke Arena starts Thursday afternoon. Goes through the weekend. Lambo, thanks.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Chris Lamb, Wichita State volleyball coach. The Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Happy to be joined by sophomore Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson. The Cats now ranked number 13 in the country, coming off a 31-7 win over Arizona on Saturday up at Bill Snyder Family Stadium at BYU this week. Avery, hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You are off to a very good start. This team is off to a very good start. Risen to number 13 in the rankings. You go out and play in Provo on Saturday against BYU, a very late start. What kind of a challenge does that represent, playing 9:30 Central Time? Is that anything to think about at all?
Yeah, for sure. We've never played in a game this late before, so rest is going to be a big thing for us. And then obviously we're traveling down there. They have the higher elevation, and they're a really sound, disciplined, and talented team. So we're gonna have to bring our A game to come out with a win this week.
You've had a couple of tests. That game on the road at Tulane a couple of weeks ago was a difficult one. You guys rose up and won that one, and then a very talented Arizona team comes in to Manhattan over the weekend, and they have a really elite offense, and you guys kind of shut them off. Winning 31-7. Tell us what that says about K-State's defensive effort.
It shows a lot, man. Our defense is really sound and resilient. And those guys, they practice their butts off all week to be able to put that game on tape on Saturday. So credit to those guys and the work and preparation they went through all week, because I know it's not easy. And they're definitely prepared and ready to go come Saturday. And they showed out for us, so it's really special to have those guys playing on the other side of the ball, and it just makes my job a lot easier.
And Avery Johnson, our guest, had 110 yards on the ground, passed for 156 yards, a couple of touchdowns. You got on the Davey O'Brien watch list. That's pretty cool. Of course, the Davey O'Brien Award given out at the end of the year goes to the Nation's a top collegiate quarterback. How exciting is that?
Man, it's awesome. Just being able to be up for such a prestigious award, but just got to continue to keep finding ways to get better each week and not change anything, stay true to myself, and continue to just work hard. But at the end of the day, I just want to win football games. So that's something I'm going to continue to try to bring to the table for our guys.
So obviously you had a tremendous high school career at Mays. I've watched you play several times when you were quarterbacking the Eagles. You were fantastic. But I always thought, is Avery going to be big enough to play at the next level? Is he going to grow? Well, you've grown. Tell us about the conditioning part of being a collegiate athlete and how that's gone and what's led to you adding to your frame the way you have.
Yeah, we have a really, really good nutrition staff and strength staff here at Kansas State, and literally everything I need is offered to me. It is really convenient, super easy, just for any athlete to be able to add, you know, muscle mass and be able to get the right things in your body and the right supplements and be able to take all the right things. So I'm in a really good place, and there's a lot of people that watch me and take care of me to make sure that I'm doing the right things with my body so that I am able to go out there and perform on Saturdays.
And part of that is adding that, but also making sure that you don't detract, right? You don't want to become less speedy and less elusive and less shifty. So it's all a balance, right?
For sure. You can't add too much at once. You kind of got to gradually add the right amount of weight at little parts of time. And we have big windows when we like to do a lot of weight gain and then stuff where we're a little bit more stagnant. In the season, we want to get stronger as the season goes on, but we don't want to add too much muscle weight. We want to kind of stay where we're at. So I have really good guidance and leadership in those areas so where I can still be able to perform my best on the field.
K-State quarterback Avery Johnson with us. Remember, of course, KFH, your home of the Wildcats. So every game right here on KFH, including the BYU game coming up this Saturday. So I've watched your two games against Tulane and then against Arizona, and you're still a young quarterback, relatively inexperienced as you move along in this process. How do you feel like you're growing personally? Do you feel it? Can you see it when you watch the tape? Are there things that you're doing now that you're pleased with, and then things that are happening on the field that you feel like, well, I can do better?
Yeah, definitely things a lot of things I still need to work on, and to just continuing to find little things each week that I can get better at. And from week one to where I'm at now, I feel like I've made great strides, and that's just what all I'm trying to do is trying to find ways to get better week by week and continue to go up and not take any steps backwards. But just feel like from a pocket standpoint, being able to clean my feet up in the pocket and have my cleats in the ground ready to throw at all times is really my biggest thing right now, because there's a lot of throws I'm leaving out there that I hit on a regular basis. So just being able to clean that part of it up, and you know, be it, and whenever I do start hitting those and get those receivers a lot more involved.
There was a moment in the Arizona game, of course, it's been talked about, where you did not throw the ball away. You went out of bounds as the first half ended. And I was very impressed by your reaction. It wasn't like, oh, my God, what have I done? What an idiot I am. You didn't get it almost looked like you found some humor in it. You just one of those moments, right? And your coach, Coach Chris Kleiman, kind of took some of the heat for that. But I'm imagining that that was an odd feeling for you.
Yeah, Coach Kleiman and Coach Wells, they try to take the heat and the blame for all that stuff. But ultimately, you know, I put all that blame on myself, and just not being aware of the clock at that time. And it's a learning experience for me for sure, but definitely won't see something like that happening again.
Avery Johnson with us. I feel like the offense, Avery, even though you had a very good game against Arizona, you put up 31 points, really good comeback against Tulane, but I feel like the offense has so much room for growth. Where do you see that room for growth? Do you feel like this receiving core is just going to get better and better? Do you feel like there's an opportunity to involve Dylan Edwards more in this offense? How do you see the potential for growth here?
Yeah, we definitely still have a lot of ways to grow, and just feel like in our last two games, our drives have been kind of limited. Like, we only got one drive in the first quarter versus Arizona, and our drives kind of seem like they're down a little bit against Tulane too. So just not as many opportunities to maybe statistically be as well on paper, but I feel like we're taking really good advantage of our opportunities we have been getting. And as far as we're in the offense, we can really improve is, yes, getting DJ and Dylan more involved. But I really just feel like from a receiver standpoint, just make sure that I'm getting on the same page as those receivers, because we have a lot of choice routes and stuff where we just need to get on the same page, and so that we can go out there and play a little bit more free.
Avery Johnson here. We've seen your explosiveness, of course. We know Dylan Edwards has incredible explosiveness. You guys are good friends for a long time. What's it like having him at K-State, playing in this offense with him, trying to figure things out together and getting better together, and just having the experience of not only being teammates but being Kansas State mates at the same time?
A lot of fun just being able to share this experience with one of my best friends that I grew up with, and being able to see, you know, how much of an impact he has on this team and how passionate he is for the game. It really does go a long way, and just how much he impacts a game and how electric he is with that ball in his hands. It definitely makes my job easier, and it takes a lot of the eyes off of me from a defensive standpoint.
One more question for you, Avery. You're in the Big 12 now. You're at Kansas State. You're on national TV pretty much every week. Your team is ranked number 13 in the country. Aspirations are high. How much do you still stay in touch with some of those high school guys you played with, your coach Gary Guzman at Mays? How much did that experience mean to you?
It means a lot, and Coach Guzman texts me about every other week, and I talk to about five or six coaches from that high school team a couple times a month, I would say, and then a whole bunch of guys that I played in high school with, that I went to high school with, will text me good game or good luck and stuff like that, and then I obviously have my really close friend group of guys from high school that come up to the games I get to spend time with after. A lot of support from Mays. Dr. Botts, the principal, really big K-State fan. He came to the first game, and I got to talk to him a little bit some after that. So a lot of support still coming in from the Mays area, and a lot of people that are really pushing for me and wishing for me to succeed.
And finally, what a crowd Saturday for the Arizona game. Just an incredible atmosphere, incredible noise. That had to be fun.
Yeah, it was a bunch of fun, and that was I think that's the loudest the Bills ever got for me, I would say. And it was a lot of fun being able to play that night game and have those fans rally behind us, because whenever we got going, you could definitely hear it in that stadium.
Avery, really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today. Best of luck. Kansas State on the road at BYU Saturday, the following Saturday, the 28th. We don't want to look ahead, but could be a potential Big 12 showdown with Oklahoma State. Avery, thank you.
Thank you.